Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, it's a fine day. This is Nazim Rashid, author Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And thanking everybody for tuning in for this fantastic show on conscious parenting and personal growth. And this is our part 13 installment, 13th installment. Again, conscious parenting and personal growth. Welcome to this fantastic show today. I think Imam Alfred Muhammad for having his spot on the Religion Means Alive network here. And we're going to have a wonderful time, wonderful time. Yeah, I thank God so much for his opportunity to talk to this global audience, for waking me up this morning, making it possible for me to even put my feet on the ground. Yes, 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 yes. I bask in this pool of gratitude. Thankful, yes, for this opportunity to give back what I have received. It took 4 years to write the book after my 20 years in the mental health and drug counseling fields. Went through 12-step myself, used drugs, sold drugs, had a dark life, came through the transformation portal, became Muslim. Now I'm giving back. So all the discussions are based on the personal growth areas in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, which can be bought on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my website, cloudsofabundance.com, www.cloudsofabundance.com, all right? All right, all right. And I had a series, for those of you who don't know, earlier on recovery and addictions, very important to talk about, and another one, long one, on marriages, how to improve and prepare for marriages, okay? Improve yourself for marriages. Fantastic. And today we're doing the series on conscious parenting and personal growth. Conscious parenting and personal growth. And I always love when people call in. Most time you just listen, and that's okay. If you want to be a part of the discussion, just hit the number one on your telephone pad, and I'll bring you in. Last week, we talked about character defects that a lot of us have, if not all of us have, and how we can transform those into positive character traits. All right? And this has a lot to do with conscious parenting. And I'm not off the topic. You know, because if you uphold and justify and keep on living with your character defects as a parent, what happens? Your kids see that, and they imitate that themselves. They internalize that problem, that deficit, and they act it out in their lives. And it will come out sooner or later. Sooner and later, actually. Yeah, and you wonder why this kid is acting up like they're acting. Okay, they got it from you. All right? If you're not a parent, of course, it still contributes the whole idea of transforming these defects into positive traits. Makes you a contributing positive person, human being in the world. You can have a happy life. Yeah, for sure, without carrying all the burdens of trying to be something other than human being. That's very important. We can't just take that for granted. You know, you think that all because you might think in a healthy way, everybody's thinking like you are. That's not true. I thought like that quite a bit. Everybody is not groomed the same way. Everybody doesn't have the same teachings that you have had. Everybody doesn't accept what you have accepted. All right? So it's not like that. Even if you've gone through 12 steps and other people have gone through 12 steps, everybody that come through the other side is still not the same. See, so it's like that. So thank God that you have a fantastic, clear thinking mind. That's one of the prayers I say all the time. Thank God for a clear and thinking mind. Man, praise be to God. Okay, so the character defects, all right? We talked about quite a bit last time, and I always like to go back and cap a little bit and go forward, you see? So last time we talked about hatred. Yeah, hatred. So we're going to talk about that. That's why, you know, said at the close of last week, so I'm going to talk about that again and go forward from that point, all right? So as we talk about these character defects, I'm going to talk about the positive counterpart, the positive character traits. the flip side to the coin. All right? Okay, here we go. Hatred, a serious character defect. Hatred is the next devolved level of anger. Okay? All right? Anger is an emotion and or feeling that has potential for harm and, you know, when left unattended. Yeah, when left unattended. You feel angry at someone. All right? And what do you do next, huh? Do you let the feeling stay in your consciousness, fester and build up? Do you examine your feelings? Ask yourself the proper questions and rechannel that negative feeling into something productive or dissipate it entirely. Do you let your intellectual frontal lobe part of your brain dominate, or do you let your emotional limbic part of the brain get the best of you? You see, the difference between animals and human beings is this frontal lobe. Dogs, cats, bears, tigers, and the rest of the animals of the world do not possess this ability to decipher like the human being. You see, we have this enormous ability to decide what is best for us after examining all the options available to us. Too many of us choose to stay locked up in the limbic section that is shared by the animal kingdom. Oh, yeah. I know the X factor of addiction is there for many of us. Y'all know about the X factor? Yeah, I got the X factor for addiction. I've got it for sure. And a lot of y'all have it too. It's that genetic predisposition for addiction, okay? Yeah, it's there. That's why when you know you have the X factor, you got to do other things to make sure you don't fall into the clutches of that demonic thing there called X factor of addictions. Oh, you don't want to do that. So I know the X factor of addiction is there for many of us. However, with knowledge and an understanding of the universal law of cause and effect and the law of attraction, we can make better choices. Better choices for ourselves despite the X factor whispering negative thoughts to us. Anger, left untreated, can devolve into hatred. Hatred is blinding and very damaging to you and others. Hatred destroys and kills. Hatred is considered a mental disorder by some psychologists. Yeah. When a murder occurs and a killer admits being blinded by his hate toward the victim, some doctors and lawyers have tried to say that they did not know what they were doing. They go on to say that they were not mentally cognizant, thereby not being responsible for the crime. Yeah. Racism breeds hatred. Oh, yeah. During slavery afterwards, many Caucasians had a hatred toward any race that did not look like them. This hate fueled the mistreatment that African Americans and other minorities, received. The Ku Klux Klan and other racist organizations were all built on this shared hate. Some Caucasians had and some still have. You know it's right. Since hatred is blinding to the rational senses, it is somewhat easier to understand how they can drag a black man by a rope around his neck behind a speeding pickup truck. These people then hang that dying or dead person, light a fire underneath a man, have a picnic right there, smiling, laughing, and celebrating with their families, pointing to the burning figure with glee and excitement. They even have a holiday. They even have the kids come out of school to watch this. That's where the name picnic came from. Y'all know what the picnic stands for? Look it up. You can bet that vast majority of those criminals against humanity were addicts themselves. Alcohol and drugs dulled enough brains' reasoning ability. So with the reasoning ability being diminished, a crime on this level becomes possible. This level of hatred has affected the victim community as well. Many minority communities have lost their humanity as well and want nothing more than to inflict harm on the quote-unquote ruling class. Just look at what some Muslim groups, so-called Muslim groups overseas, are doing right now as they are looking forward to being chosen by their leaders to be the next suicide bomber. Yeah. Many minority groups in this country just let anger sell into depression and lose the will to succeed in life. Why bother, they say? They aren't going to listen to us anyway, huh? Where's my bottle? You know? Yeah, for sure. Racism breeds hatred. Absolutely. All right? We can go on about hatred. You know, I try to give too much energy toward the negative, because what happens is as you get more energy toward it, it starts multiplying all by itself. I'm about the other side, okay? So what's the flip side of this? Love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. Now, this is where I like to be. Learning how to love unconditionally is definitely a process that takes some understanding. Oh, yeah. There's a spirit of anger and a hate and a spirit of love that needs explanation. Yeah, it needs explanation. We have to first understand that God's spirit is in everyone. Every person that you see, regardless of their presentations, has the spirit of God within it. It is this spirit that we should love. Because where God is, our love should be. As we love where God is. Yeah, we love where God is, right? And where is God not? God is everywhere. So it is wise to look for the good, which is the same as looking for God in everything. Even when you don't see any trace of God in some people, know that God is there anyway. Always in a gratitude posture when we observe good in nature and people, because God created them both. Thus, his spirit is there. God is present within and without everything we see and don't see. So with this understanding, we can love unconditionally everyone. However, listen up. It does not mean that we outwardly show love to everyone. Some people have lost their own God nature, their own humanity, and need to be put behind bars or delivered back to God. Yeah. Even in the most extreme cases, we can still love the God nature in them, even though it is dormant and has been neglected. Person and their behavioral choices have nothing to do with God being present within them and should have nothing to do with our love for that spirit. We have to separate the spirit within them and the person we are observing. That's so very hard for a lot of us to do. So you got to separate that. You got those badass kids, you know, and they rebel and do everything against what you taught them and how you brought them up. You want to just take them out yourself, kick them out of the house, forget about them. You know, just pretend you don't even have a son or daughter. No, you shouldn't do that. They're throwing a baby out with the water. Love the God spirit within them anyway. You see? Yeah. You might have to separate yourself from them for a while, but you don't hate them. You don't despise them. Huh? You don't do that. You don't disown them. No. You pray for them and love the spirit within them. And let them see you still love the spirit within them, even though you don't like their behavior. So you've got to separate what they're doing from what they truly are. A human, excellence, piece of excellence. A creation of God inside, okay? A divine spirit within. Yes, 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 yes. For example, a mother can have children who are rebellious, contrary, disobedient, and just plain nerve-wracking. On your last nerves, huh? Is that mother supposed to hate or to have uncontrolled anger directed toward them? See, the practical, loving mother will let her understanding and love dominate her emotions, realizing that children have their own issues at different stages of their development and that they need sometimes a firmer, stricter environment to help them control themselves, which will help them rechannel some of that high energy. Mm-hmm. Another example is that of a single mother. This mother had four children and divorced their father when the children were still very young. The children loved their father, even though he was abusive, very controlling to their mother, and was unfaithful. Oh, yeah. The player. After 10 years of this abuse and enabling, the wife finally went through the divorce procedure. The children started to develop anger toward the mother and tried to sabotage the divorce by lying to the social workers in order for the parents to stay together. The divorce was finalized, and the anger of the children now in their early adulthood increased. Isn't that something? The children now on their own barely speak to the mother and have dysfunctional enabling families of their own. The mother has always wanted nothing more than to have a loving family and tight bonds between everyone. But there was nothing but contention when they spoke to her. Now, what disposition is the mother supposed to have? All right, I'm going to give you four choices. You tell me which one sounds good to you. One, to move on with her life now, especially since she is not responsible for them anymore. Two, to completely let go of her adult children and not let her negativity or their presence be in her life or mine. Three, to let go of the negative emotions she is carrying from them, knowing that those emotions do not belong to her. Love the God spirit within them, holding on dearly to that part of them and not letting them physically bring their negative spirit around her. Four, to hold on to them completely the way they are, allowing their unresolved anger to burden her emotionally, calling this loving my kids. One, two, three, four. What do you think, huh? Now, if you guessed number three, you are correct. See, by respecting yourself, you're not going to allow anyone to disrespect you or your spirit. This is honoring the God spirit within you. You can love them from a distance if necessary and be perfectly fine with that. See, when number four is chosen, let me tell you, the spirit of addiction is very close by. With that decision, you have depression, frustration, sadness, void in your heart, and a vacuum in your soul. This is when the spirit of addiction pays you a visit and says, hey, man, don't worry. I'm here now to take care of you. Oh, yeah, just relax and roll up your sleeve, baby. It's going to be all right. All right? All right, now we're going to talk about forgiveness. This is also part of the positive character traits, that counterpart, hatred, okay? Forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is sometimes interpreted as completely erasing the negative situation from our mind as if it never happened, okay? Pretending nothing happened at all and seeing the aggressor as if they did nothing wrong, thus treating them indifferently. Receiving mistreatment. Yeah. Not believing that the other person intended to hurt you and being wide open for another attack without guard or caution. So, turn the other cheek. Yeah. A lot of people believe in that. Turn the other cheek. Yeah. You have no cheeks left, right? This is not the forgiveness that we need as we are in this new process of transformation. And certainly, not the forgiveness we need to accept in any circumstance. This kind of forgiveness is very active in codependence and those holding on to denial of the aggressor's intentions. All right? Now, think about these classic codependent quotes. I know you all heard this before. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but then again, it's very real because people hold on to these things, you know? Classic codependent quotes. Here it is. He didn't mean to break my jaw last night. He really loves me. I've forgiven him for that minor slip. Another one. It is true that my girlfriend gave me BD to receive from some other man, but she didn't know what she was doing, and I have forgiven her for that mishap. Another one. My husband was driving a car drunk again with me and our kids inside running off the road and hitting a tree, causing us, not him, some broken bones and severe burns on the kids' faces. I know he would never hurt us knowingly and was not in his right mind, so I have forgiven him. I know he feels bad about what he did. He is a good father and husband. Another one. I know that my wife was supposed to pick the kids up after school, but she was out gambling again at the casino and just forgot about them. She didn't mean to do that and apologized after she came home 3 hours later and found out that the police brought them home and called my office saying the kids were abandoned. I have forgiven her, knowing that she is working on her gambling addiction, even though the kids felt hurt and disappointed and abandoned once again, end quote. I know y'all heard some of that. Yeah. See, the forgiveness that we need in this recovery process is the kind that completely eliminates the burden of others' mishaps, mistreatments, mistakes, and other negative energy directed toward us. Forgiveness is for us, not them. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is for you, them. Make it real personal here. All right? When you carry the guilt, shame, and hurt that someone caused you, you burden yourself, and that burden becomes a barrier to your success and achievement of your goals. See, when you forgive them for their ill behavior toward you, you are releasing, you are released from that suffocating energy. You release that spirit, and set them free from your consciousness, thus allowing you to go on with your life. See, you know you are free when, this is very serious, you know you are free when thoughts of them do not cause pain within. You know you are free when thoughts of them do not cause your heart to race and tension to begin. You know you are free when thoughts of them do not cause headaches to occur and nervousness to surface. You know you are free when their name is mentioned, you invoke blessings on them and wish them well, not hell. All right? Yeah, you know that God's spirit is in them as in everyone, and you pray that someday they will recognize that spirit and be thankful. In the meantime, you show gratitude to God for showing you the proper way to think and behave. All right? Now, forgiveness does not mean that you act indifferently regarding their mistreatment of you. If wrong is done toward you, there is a penalty to pay in one shape or another. See, forgiveness does not mean that their crime toward you is excused. You act rationally and practically and take the intelligent position always. If punishment is necessary, then the punishment is given without going beyond what is just and fair. You honor your souls when you proceed with a just and fair process of the I call the punishment payment. You also take time to forgive yourself for not acting on the behalf of your own soul. Now, when you are in the position of being dependent and otherwise enabler, you are not honoring your own soul, and you allow others to disrespect you and mistreat you. Don't do that. When you allow others to disrespect you, abuse, emotional, physical, even in marriages, you know, some of the wives, some husbands too, not just one way, you know, they get abused and it's okay. You know, some women know that the husbands have, you know, other girlfriends. You know, they might say, I got another wife down the street. They might even say that. And the wife is okay with that. She's allowing, you know, this person to disrespect her. you know? And she stays in that dysfunctional relationship, hoping one day it'll change. You see? Yeah, don't do that. Instead of beating yourself up for this, you just forgive yourself, knowing that you now have new knowledge of self, with a capital S, S, and with this new knowledge, you have new accepted responsibilities. By forgiving yourself, you are honoring your soul. Just raising, you know, thus, raising your self-esteem and self-image. Oh, yeah, you got to raise that self-esteem and self-image, or you're not going to be the productive, positive person that you say you want to be. You now have new, higher standards, okay, that won't be compromised. See, when you have higher standards, I've been telling you, everything improves. You know, relationships improve. Yeah, the nice, healthy mate. Huh? Yeah, you can live with and love for the rest of your life. Yeah, for sure. Higher standards. Higher. Don't compromise. That's saying there's a shortage of men, shortage of women. Don't do that. When we have higher standards, what happens as a parent? Your kids, they internalize higher standards for themselves. Oh, yeah. And they go on to become productive, healthy human beings, have healthy relationships when they get older. Absolutely. All right? By forgiving yourself, you are saying to your own soul that you love yourself too much to allow hurt, disrespect, mistreatment, belittlements, beratements, and assaults to be a way of life anymore. When you truly forgive yourself in this manner, a protective peace shield is put around you, and those old negative energies will no longer be attracted to you. Please hear this. Your standards are different now, and new standards have the kind of energy that is attracted to like energy, not opposing energy. So loving energy you now are emitting is attracting only like loving energy in return. The old energy that used to have a welcome mat in our consciousness, no longer in your consciousness, no longer is welcome and is repelled every time it comes near. And did you hear that one? The old energy that used to have a welcome mat in your consciousness, no longer is welcome and is repelled every time it comes near. See, the old dysfunctional, codependent, attractive, abusive energy, it only comes around, stays around when you have a welcome mat out there for it. If it's not there, it doesn't feel welcome, so why would it come around? So when it comes around, ask yourself, why do you have a welcome mat out there? Don't say you don't. If you didn't have it, it wouldn't be around. Act like you don't have it around if you say you don't have it around. You have it around. That's why it's there. Don't welcome abuse into your life. Don't accept it on any level. And your kids won't accept it on any level. All right? Now, the next character defect we'll talk about is intolerance. Intolerance. Intolerance can grow from self-pity and resentment. Mm-hmm. Once we learn how, it becomes easy to blame others for the way we feel. Being intolerant is especially easy when others have different ways of thinking or living. See, when we are set in our ways, being very comfortable with our mannerisms, lifestyle, language, and treatment of others, we unconsciously set up accepted standards around us. If someone outside of our circle comes near, or there are discussions about someone that doesn't measure up to our standards, we become intolerant of them. We judge them, criticize them, put them down, put them into a box that we created, labeled quote unquote, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Our standards, many times, put us on the outskirts of the majority, which brings on a certain level of frustration and disappointment. We see many people enjoying life, keeping a job or a business, maintaining a healthy family, laughing and getting along with friends, achieving their goals and receiving respect. And we are not able to do that. We say to ourselves, those people aren't really happy. They are all faking. They are all hypocrites. Who are they fooling anyway? I don't know how they keep acting like that, but not me. Mm-mm, no way. No way are you going to see me trying to be something I am not. They are all crazy. I can't stand them and they can't stand me. Conform, conform to what? Their confused standards of right and wrong, their etiquettes, rules, and someone made up for them to follow, their fashions that change like the weather. They tell me how to dress and how to check my hygiene. Who are they to tell me how to be anyway? They don't like me asking for donations out here on the street or and for my living lifestyle, my choice. Who is Emily Post anyway? Where's my pipe? Where's my joint? And there you go. Intolerance, huh? Okay. Now you can probably guess what the positive character trait is within intolerance, right? Right? What is it? Tolerance. All right. As you learn to be more accepting of others, yeah. As you learn to be more accepting of others, you become more tolerant. When you are in that thick cloud of addictions, you can only see what the smoky, cluttered world would allow you to see. That cloud is outside of you and inside of you and becomes your accepted culture. When you decide to live outside of that cloud, you now can accept the new life-giving culture of sobriety, thus raising your tolerance level for everything that is life-giving. Hear that, please. Life-giving. Your standards have changed. Your vision, hearing, sense of touch, and taste has all changed with your new internal environment. The things that bothered the heck out of you before don't even come near your consciousness anymore. When some of those things do come near, they are mere trifles and are treated as such. As a matter of fact, when that happens, you praise God for delivering you from that old mentality, the world of darkness and gloom. Whew, isn't that something? That's something. I'm telling you something. Whew. All right, the next character defect, dishonest thinking. Yeah. Yeah. We know someone that has dishonest behavior. It comes from where? Dishonest thinking. We fall victim to our own distorted sense of reality when we believe our resentments. Think about that. A lot of people do that. They believe their own resentments. Isn't that something? Yeah. Some people call it cognitive dissonance. This is one of the places where dishonest thinking originates. We believe our resentments. Then our thinking becomes also distorted as it is based on our distorted realities. We don't see others or interact with others with healthy intentions, and so we think nothing of being dishonest because we see no reason to be otherwise. Yeah, a whole lot of people like that. Our sole intention is to get high. Or be abusive, or be controlling. So anything that contributes to our reality is acceptable, and anything that is contrary to our aim is unacceptable. Dishonest thinking? What is that? It might be dishonest in your mind, but where I live and operate, the word dishonesty doesn't exist. The thinking that serves my interest is the only thinking that is correct in my world. Don't you know that by now? Don't you know that? It's amazing. Yeah, so, you know, a whole lot of people are very honest about being dishonest, you know? And it's kind of like someone who tells you they're a liar, and you wonder why they can't tell the truth. Well, when someone tells you they're a liar, believe them. If someone shows you their hand, believe them. All right? Like I just said, don't you know it by now? All right, what's the flip side to this? Dishonest thinking, what is it? Honest thinking. Being honest with ourselves is the most difficult form of honesty. Yeah. Yeah. See, as we learn how to accept ourselves as we really are, we can begin to laugh at ourselves and applaud ourselves for the major slip we made and the life transformation that we have also made. What are we really? We are an ever-changing, evolving human being with the imprint of addiction and abuse, abusing behavior, controlling behavior, and the God-given potential and tools for the complete fulfillment of our lives. And being honest with ourselves, we are always sensitive to our emotions. To bring clarity to this point, I think about how a motion detector operates, or a still body of water. With the motion detector, it monitors the immediate area for any movement, and when movement is detected, immediately sounds the alarm. It is the same with a still body of water. When any disturbance contacts the water, be it subtle or really obvious, waves will appear, indicating that the perfect state of peace has been broken. See, this is how the recovered new sober mindset operates. All right? This new mind knows that because of the past dark imprint, new security measures have to be installed and maintained in order to have the kind of consistent peace and health that it is now subscribing itself to have. This new mindset is always on post, watching for any predators that may lurk around to cause havoc and discord. Anytime any of the old characteristics come anywhere near our proximity, our security measures are sound the alarm and let us know that the enemy is approaching. Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, you can set that up. Yeah, you can set it. Sure, you can do that. You can do that. You can do that. Yeah, in relationships, for example, you have committed yourself to a monogamous, healthy, respectful, compassionate marriage, okay? All right? And all this has a lot to do with parenting. Come on, I'm not off the topic. This has everything to do with conscious parenting and personal growth, okay? All right. Let's suppose your mate makes a mistake affecting you, says something vile and ugly to you, does something in a minor way that does not reflect the best in themselves towards you, speaks to you as if you are some other person in their own past life, which has nothing to do with you, makes a minor slip regarding their respect to you. Okay. Now, when any of these things happen, what is your response? Huh? This is when those predators of the past come to remind you of what your old way of responding would be. Your old way of responding. How you used to respond. We can use any situation from our past lives to further illustrate my point. It could be with drinking, where you are at a social gathering and someone is drinking the exact drink that you used to drink on a regular basis. You get into an argument with your mate, and those old voices of abuse come and pay you a visit. You go over to someone's house, and there is a scent of marijuana, your old drug of choice, in the air, and your alarms go off. See, this is when those voices of the past, your past culture, want to talk to you and tell you what to do with this person and or situation. This is also when your new accepted ways of being are on guard to dominate your mind, thus not allowing anything else to come in as an influence. Yeah. No matter what the triggers may be to test you, your security measures that you have in place will protect you. Yeah, this is serious. And being honest with ourselves, we have to recognize when our guard is up and when our guard is down or even climb. See, for the sanctity of our new life, we have to constantly take assessment of our moral inventory. This is what is meant by being honest with ourselves. Okay, everybody got that? Yeah. That's really something. Really something. All right. The next character defect, procrastination. A lot of y'all got this going on right now. You see, all these things, I'm telling you, have a lot to do with conscious parenting and personal growth. Yeah, for sure. If you have a pattern of being a procrastinator, what do you think your kids are going to grow up to be? Yeah, too many times We put things off until we feel inspired, quote unquote, to do those things until everything is just right at the right time. That is, that the so-called right time never comes. Yeah. When pressure builds up to get the job done, we tend to react by becoming difficult to work with, impatient, irresponsible, and intolerant with others. Our mind and internal time clock is not synchronized with the rest of the world. You got that? Now, in the addict's mind, the task to be done is not a priority. No, it's not. The task could be an important family matter, a personal health concern, or community project. It doesn't matter what the level of priority may be in the eyes and minds of others. The only real priority in the addict's mind is the next high. In the case of the controlling ego-centered bully, the only priority is to make certain that those close to him or her are controlled by one means or another. These people are doing whatever they are told to do, you know, and all in the master's kingdom. Recognize their servant role. Yeah. In the master's mind, they are not procrastinators. They are merely protecting their first interests, making sure that their first priorities are safeguarded. You see? You know something? In having this kind of mindset, you can easily see how other matters in life can be looked upon as secondary on the to-do list. That's how the people who are dominators. You know, they got to control somebody. Yeah, for sure. All right, now what's the opposite of procrastination? Remember, we're talking about transforming the character defects into positive character traits, and it is getting the job done. Again, getting the job done. Getting the job done. How does it feel when you complete a job or check off an important item on your to-do list? And not because someone is breathing down your neck, but because you have the internal need for its completion. When you're on the healthy side of life, you have this need and you feel good every time this happens. You see, the healthy human being thrives on successes, completion of tasks, producing something for not only their benefit, but for their family and the community. Yeah. Now, in the manhood development chapter, again, the manhood development chapter in my first publication called Young Fathers Life Skills and Curriculum Facilitator's Guide, manhood development chapter, I talk about how a man is measured. Quote, a man is measured by what he knows, by what he represents, and what he produces. Again, a man is measured by what he knows, by what he represents, and what he produces. A real man produces more than he consumes. All right? See, we can't be satisfied with tasks undone, projects unfinished, and promises unmet. The healthy mindset only accepts the completion of projects and promises. See, we have a sense of emptiness when the completion, until the completion is a reality. Yeah. Feels good when you actually get it done, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just accept the kind of mentality. Now, what's the next thing? Character defects, guilty feelings. Yeah, guilty feelings. Feeling guilty can become an important part of our lifestyle, always. Always there to give us another excuse for feeling miserable and behaving irresponsibly. There are some who feel guilty because they know they are not measuring up to their responsibilities. For example, there is this father who loves his family, wife and children, who all depend on him in many ways. He wants to do right by them, but he is a functioning heroin addict. And sometimes he forgets his family promises or has to make his connection, which comes before his home responsibilities. This brings on a certain level of guilt feelings, and thus, in his using cycle made him even more guilty and depressed. The using cycle can be understood as guilty feelings for not prioritizing his family needs first, maintaining his daily level of heroin on and off the job, and it happens every day. In fact, there's an increased level of heroin use right now. Forgetting important obligations he has made, feeling even more guilty about that, and then using again to drown out the guilty feelings, like one of those devastating cycles there, you know, downward cycles. Okay? All right, here's another example, a family example. I got a lot of those here. Now we have Jim, who is a controlling abuser of his loving, enabling wife. Jim loves his wife and would do anything to ensure her safety and security from others. Now, as he is driving home from work, he is thinking to himself that he really needs to be kinder to his wife and not let his anger get out of control, beating her as he has in the past. He feels bad about his uncontrollable fits of rage. He even asks himself why he does such a thing to someone he loves. He never has a suitable answer for that question. He starts getting mad at himself for being such a brute, and his heart starts racing, and his palm gets sweaty. He gets home in this state, and the sight of his wife reminds him of his ugly side, and he can't stand it. So what does he do? He finds any old excuse to beat her down again. When he sees her, he sees himself, the self that is dysfunctional, unhealthy, imbalanced, self-centered, and selfish. So unconsciously, he is beating himself for being the brute that he is. See, this is only one example of the abusing husband scenario, but is one to learn from. Okay? Now, when I hear the word guilty, I also hear the word blameworthy. Addicts, codependents, enablers, and other dysfunction individuals have a very low self-esteem and feel they are blameworthy. See, blameworthy also means deserving of reproach and punishment. See, if they are in an environment where blame is directed towards someone, they unconsciously or consciously say, "Give it to me. I am sure I deserve it." You can see how depressing this mental state can be. And as they become more and more depressed about their guilty and depressing feelings, the more they want to use or abuse again. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's really something. Okay. Guilty feelings. All right, now we're going to talk about the positive character traits from this. What is it? Repentant or forgiving of self. Repentant. Okay? Now, when we cross over into the side of light, health, grace, and mercy, we see ourselves in a completely different way. Oh, yeah. We can see honor. We can see, honor, celebrate, and appreciate God within us. Yeah. We can forgive ourselves for all the wrongs we have caused ourselves and others. We were not aware of this knowledge before. There is no need anymore for us to feel guilty or enraged at ourselves. We are on the side of light now and therefore behave with this new understanding. Our first priority is to stay connected to God, our true knowledge base, our salvation. To feel repentant means to feel really bad about what we have done. We are remorseful and are committed to a completely different life that produces prosperity and happiness instead of dread and misery. There is nothing now to feel guilty about. Happiness and forgiving of self have now replaced guilt. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? See, a lot of us really don't want to transform life. We talk that talk about how we want the good life. We want to be, you know, kind and want to have different friends, different kind of results in our life, but we really don't. You know, like Dr. Phil says, you know, you keep holding on to those things because of some kind of benefit. So ask yourself, what is the benefit for you living the lifestyle that you're living? Using profanity all the time, the N-word, and talking down to people, and, being afraid of your own progress. What is the benefit that you're receiving for doing that? You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be. So I'm saying that, you know, just check ourselves. Look in the mirror and look at yourself and ask yourself, what do you really want? If you want the good life, I say this all the time, you have to completely let go of the old life. That means those friends, the way of lifestyle, language. You might have changed clothes. You might have changed a whole bunch of stuff. Anything that contributes to abusing of others, yourself or others, get rid of it. If the clothes you wore remind you of your old abusing stuff that you had fun in doing, you know, it kind of triggered that old funny response. Yeah, I remember having the good old days. I used to beat her up, beat them up, and smoke that hit, you know, hit that joint and hit that bottle, that pipe. I remember those good old days. I wore this little black hat and this red shirt. Oh, man, I was hitting it. Well, in new life, you don't want to wear a black shirt. You don't a black hat and red shirt, whatever it is. You don't want to do that because those things are triggers that bring back those old feelings where you had fun, enjoyed yourself, had a good time at others' expense. That's what I'm saying. You might have to change your clothes, clothing style. Neighborhood. Be around people who talk the language of health, life. Where the language is completely different. Language is all about building it up, not breaking down. When you break down anybody, I'm talking yourself, others, and don't use excuse, well, we're just being affectionate toward one another, affectionate by calling one another bitch or the N-word or whatever. Got our affection with it. No. Stop it. If you honored yourself, you honor the spirit of another person, you address them in honorable ways. Absolutely. Absolutely, and we do that. Once you start in the habit of doing that, you'll start seeing changes around you. You know, yeah. You act ugly around your children. Where you go? They're gonna be like that. They're gonna act out, you know, the words that you're putting out there. Children be what they see. They do not be what you say. They be what they see. For sure. So we gotta watch that. Very important to understand that. Okay. Next character defect is called emptiness. Addicts and codependents alike share this feeling. I identify with this character defect when I was a child. Emptiness seemed to be my best friend. Oh, yeah. I felt alone, even in crowds. High self-esteem was not present. Now with the ridiculing, belittling, emotional abuse I endured from my brother and the lack of support from my mother. See, she was blind to the ill treatments he dished out. She never knew they existed. She was entertained by his behavior. Mm-hmm. There were no mentors around to teach me resiliency skills and skills that would boost and maintain a high level of self-esteem. So emptiness was my best friend, always around. When emptiness has a home in your soul, addictions and other codependencies are nearby. With emptiness comes the need to fill the void. You can't fill it with appropriate, healthy, emotional nutrients, then anything around will do. Suicidal ideations, fantasies, self-destructive thoughts, and destructive, dangerous thoughts against others all start creeping in to make a home within you. Then come drugs and alcohol. You say to yourself, finally, an escape hatch to feel good and be okay. Even if it is only for a small while. Now life can really be lived and fun. Fun can start. I'm okay now, so you thought. Yeah, I thought just like that. Maybe the emptiness is from low self-esteem where your whole identity is wrapped up in someone else. You're happy only when this other person, maybe an abusing husband or someone you're idolizing, is happy. Your feelings are their feelings. When they laugh, you laugh. When they cry, you cry. When you get abused by them, You are mad with yourself for making them beat you. How ridiculous. Your self-esteem is their self-esteem, and your own self within gets neglected, and that makes that child upset when it, inside you. When your children don't get their needs met, sooner or later, you're going to pay the price. Now, in my counseling, when I was in practice, in my counseling days, I encountered many women who fell into this category. They had no identity outside of their husband's identity. Their soul didn't exist for them. These women typically don't abuse drugs. They might drink a little bit, but they don't dare get drunk. That would be even more reason for the next beating. They just hold their true feelings inside, accept depression as their lot in life, and just hope for a better day tomorrow. After denying their own feelings for so long, they lose touch as to what they are really feeling anymore. When I asked them how they felt, they said, "Great, my husband this or my husband that." Unquote. When they looked in the mirror, they saw their husband's image right behind them, whether he was really there or not. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the counterpart of that, the positive character trait is what? Truly fulfilled. We're going to end on this one. Truly fulfilled. When you're on the side of light and you have accepted to live a life of pure submission to what you are seeing and knowing to be God's way for you, you have a feeling of being truly fulfilled. You are not directing your life anymore from a mindset of, what can I get out of this person or situation? No. You are acting knowing that your thoughts and actions are in direct accord with God. It is not you anymore interacting with people and circumstances. It is God working through you as you go about your daily routine. You're constantly checking yourself to see if you are in alignment with God's standards, which you have accepted, or are you straying a bit here or there? See, your radar is on 24/7 to be on the lookout for deviancies. See, once you taste the life, I'm telling you, this is so wonderful. Once you taste the life of beauty, compassion, empathy for others, and a sense of being favored by your Creator, nothing else tastes good. Your standards for yourself have been raised, thus creating a new energy force around you. See, this new energy force attracts similar energy forces and also repels energy forces that do not complement it. You'll find that friends and associates from the old dark life don't come around anymore, and those old circumstances pass you right on by. Walk on by. Now you get those parking places, the green lights, the shorter lines in the store, more pleasant people in passing, opportunities needed, quality spouses, and you are attracting financial gains. Oh, yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. Your self-esteem and self-confidence are all very high. Very high as you affirm for yourself what is already divinely implanted in your very nature. The word emptiness is a foreign word to you now. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad. I love ending on a good positive note. That's a positive note there right there. Oh, yeah. The word emptiness is a foreign word to you now. See, we have to taste a good life and then love that enough to not ever want to put something bad in your mouth ever again. You know what I'm talking about. No, so when your language changes into life-giving, affirming language, start with self-talk, love yourself first, and then you have love to others, and you compliment everybody. If you go to the store, you compliment the clerk, tell them they did a great job, and just build them up, start finding things happen to you. Good. And those people from the old life, they stop coming around. You know? In old days, they come with you with a joint, say, "Hey, man, I know you want some of this. Come hit this." And you say, "I sure do." And you hit it. Those kind of people don't come around anymore. And just think, you know, from a parent perspective, how that your kids will respond to this. Huh? You say nothing but positive things in the house, and kids pick up on that. They'll do the same thing. Yeah, everything is life-giving and affirming. You love everyone, and you, yeah, hug your kids every day. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love the spirit that God put within them. And they're here destined for greatness. Yeah, and validate those children every single day. Let them know their feelings matter. They matter. They're relevant here in this world. They're here to make a difference, a positive difference in the world. They're going to be independent, contributing positive factors into the world's shift to something greater and bigger. Yeah, that's done daily. Okay, we're going to end this part 13 right now. Do part 14. Why not? Next week. All right, I'm Nazim Abdul-Rashid. So I was using the personal growth areas in the book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self as we address the topic, conscious parenting and personal growth. Yeah, please get this book. Go to my website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. If you love going to Barnes & Noble, you might have a Barnes & Noble around the corner. You can go in there and the book might be on the shelf. If it's not, you can order it at the cashier. Order it and they'll put it behind the desk there, behind the counter with your name on it. If you're calling from outside the country, then you have to go to your local store and they can order it also. So you can have it there too, okay? If you have the e-books like the Amazon, the Kindle, or Nook, you can get it that way too. Download it and you get it now and have it within the next half hour. Yeah, if you go to my website, I can actually mail it to you personally and autograph it for you. Okay? All right, now I have my own show called The Reconnected Show that happens every Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Since a lot of y'all like to just call and listen on your phone, call 347-999-4-2524. Again, 347-999-4-2524. Again, 347-999-4-2524. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And you hear my show Reconnected. And I talk. Now, there I'm just a host. I'm hosting other people. So I'm interviewing them. So you don't hear much of me. That's why I love this time on Wednesdays. Okay? We always have personal growth leaders and thought leaders on the show on Saturday. But they just reflect the messages that are directly or indirectly tied to chapters in my book, Reconnected. Okay, and what are the chapters? Well, I give them to you right now. Forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery, identifying and managing emotions, and last one, how to be the mentor to your child self, how to go back in time to become the self you once were and change the feelings of those negative events in your past life, which will eliminate their presence in your life presently, so you will not carry those old burdens from the past anymore. Yeah, anymore. This book teaches you how to do that, so get it, okay? With that in mind, this is Nazim Rashid. We'll sign out with the peace that only God has to be with you. Assalamu alaikum.